Hello, GWA backstage. This is Tarkus Trooper here. It's come to my attention that I have not done a questionnaire in forever. So I decided to take on Arena Rung's musical musings questionnaire because why not? I love talking about music. As everyone knows. How can you not like talking about music? Anyway, so here we go. Let's get started. Okay, number one, what genres of music do you listen to most often? Mostly classic rock. To make it more specific, I like listening to a lot of classic progressive rock, but then to like regular classic rock too. So, yeah. And not to mention classic R&B, classic everything. Two, tell us about a time you discovered an artist from a genre you don't usually listen to. What drew you to their music, and have you gotten more interest in that genre as well? At the time when I was around. When I was a freshman in high school, I didn't really get into Yes until that very moment. Yeah, because before then I did not have that large of an attention span to listen to songs that were like 10 to 20 minutes long. But around that time when I got up to about freshman year in high school, I decided to pay more attention to Yes's music, and because that was the time where I kind of outgrew listening to a lot of hair metal and went more into I thought I wouldn't like it, but here I am about 6 or 7 years later, and I am just a progressive rock nut. So yeah. Because So, yeah, a genre I didn't usually listen to, but now I do. A genre you don't usually listen to. There are some times where I'm in the mood for country and I'm not. Garth Brooks is one of them. Garth Brooks, I think he was the only exception of country music I like. I mean, I grew up listening to him, so yeah. Number three, do you get songs stuck in your head? Okay, and what's this week's earworm? Oh gosh, I get a lot of songs in my head. Oh, so many songs I wouldn't expect to get in my head. And this week's earworm is Ariana Grande's Dangerous Woman. I don't know. Something about her voice is just so, envy-inducing. I love the kind of runs and melismas she does, and it's just whoa. I am in awe of this girl. I mean, she is just. She's one of those. I think one of the. I think she's one of those singers that are from the bubblegum pop. genre that I can tolerate to listen to. I can because she can actually sing. Yeah. So, yeah. Ariana Grande's Dangerous Woman is this week's earworm. Something about you makes me feel like a dangerous woman. Oh, I love that song so much. Okay. Number four, what was the best live performance you've ever seen? What made it so great? I've been to too many great performances. Well, not too many, but you know, just enough. I think my favorite concert I've ever been to was Elton John and Billy Joel's Face to Face tour concert back in 2009, back when I was a freshman in high school. Oh my gosh, everything was so on point with that concert. It was just, I mean, I went to this concert with my dad, and we were sitting up there in a nosebleed section. And at first, before the concert even started, my dad was sort of a little miffed that we were up in the nosebleed section because we were afraid that we wouldn't get that much of a good sound quality from up above, or maybe we didn't get to see them as close as we thought we would. But when they came onto the stage, and oh my gosh, our opinion changed completely. Because we got really good sound quality all the same, and it was pretty awesome. We were just, the music itself and the performances is just amazing. I mean, how could it not be? Elton John, Billy Joel, two great pianists, and they're great songwriters, musicians even. Oh God. I was very lucky. I was very lucky that me and my dad got to go see them. Even if it's just once. Because tickets to that concert would cost you like an arm and a leg to go. You know? It's just to buy it tickets. That would cost you an arm and a leg to go to. But if you do get that chance, I don't know if they're going to tour anymore together. But no, anyway, if you get a chance to see either Elton John or Billy Joel, or both together, go to it. You will not be disappointed. I swear, you would not be disappointed. You will have the best time of your life. I remember telling my dad that is the best. I just had the best night of my life. I mean, besides going to see Yes in concert, that was good too, but Billy Joel and Elton John trumps them all. It just wipes out the competition completely. Yeah, it's just the showmanship, everything about it was so great. Okay, and number five, have you been to a performance that affected you emotionally in a way you weren't expecting? Tell us about it. Well, okay, so we're going we went to go see the Zac Brown Band in concert at one time, and it's a country group. Me and my dad, we went to go see Zac Brown Band in concert, and during that song Colder Weather, oh gosh, it's just something about that song, it just makes me cry. That song Colder Weather, it's just, like I said, I don't usually listen to country music, but when I went to that concert, Zac Brown Band, oh my god, that's another one of the greatest performances I've gone to. And what was so chilling about it, when they were doing that song Colder Weather, it was just their harmonies and everything. It was just so beautiful. It just clicked. I don't know. It just clicked with me. And when they were showing the soldiers coming out, I think I remember when the soldiers came out on stage and they were saluting, I think. It was during that time, that song, I think. I broke down. That was just one of the best. I'm tearing up a little bit just thinking about it. Yeah, that was one of those moments where I would expect myself to get emotionally connected to the performance. But oh, and also let me tell you about another I haven't gone and seen it, but I have the video. I have the concert on DVD. And Oh, Roger Daltrey at the Carnegie Hall. Oh my gosh, the first time. Okay, so here's the deal. About 2 or 3 years ago, after not watching that concert in a long period of time, I decided, why not? I haven't seen that concert in forever, so I popped in Roger Daltrey's Life at the Carnegie Hall with the Juilliard Orchestra. Oh my gosh, the nostalgia was just flooding in my mind, and it just came right out of my eyes. I was just like, how could I forget how good that is? And it's a good thing I have it on DVD right now because, oh my gosh, that is one of the best concerts I've seen on TV. I mean, I've ever owned, actually, too. It is just, oh, yeah. Roger Daltrey, and then seeing John Entwistle. Yeah, it's just, oh my gosh. Everything about that concert is just so nostalgic and so emotionally, I don't know how you would describe it. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of nostalgia with that one. Okay, and six, how important are lyrics in the music you listen to, or do you tend towards instrumentals? There are some times when lyrics kind of cut me deep, but then most times, you know how I am with chords and the way they're played. It's like, oh, that chord right there. Oh my gosh. Oh. What was that? That chord just speaks right to my soul right now. Yeah, I have a lot of those moments where, like, ooh, that chord, what is that? That is too good. Too good. It's just, yeah. Number seven, follow up. What's the best song with the worst lyrics you can think of? Quote a really bad line for us. Okay, so I like this song by Jimmy Buffett. Called, well, it's originally by Mark Knopfler. It's called Whoop-Dee-Doo. I like that line where the first two lines I like, if I'm over the moon, it's because I'm over you, a day at a time, and I'm tickety-boo. What the heck does tickety-boo mean? I mean, once I heard that line, I was just rolling on the floor laughing, and you just hear Jimmy Buffett just sing it just like deadpan, and I'm tickety boo. It's just what? A day at a time, and I'm tickety boo. Tickety boo. Well, here's a word you don't know. And for a while, I did not even know what tickety boo means, and then I looked it up, and it means a day at a time, and I feel all right. That's what tickety boo means, and I'm tickety boo. What? Yeah, just instead, just okay. So how about this? Instead of saying "and I'm tickety boo," okay, well, it wouldn't rhyme with "it's because I'm over you." No, it wouldn't. If you say a day at a time and I'm feeling all right. No, it wouldn't work that well. But still, tickety boo. Tickety boo. Really? Really, tickety boo. Tickety boo. Tickety boo. I love you, Mark Knopfler, but really? Okay. Yeah, really. All right, number eight. Do you ever listen to music in languages you don't speak? How do you find it, and what do you like about it? Yeah, for a while, I used to like to listen to Dorian Gray, and I would not even understand one single word they said. But I love the music. That was back when I was still into heavy music at the time. I've pretty much calmed down after about 2 years after that, I think. Yeah, I've calmed down some. But still, I like a couple of Dorian Gray's stuff. Yeah, it's just not the heavier stuff, no. I would always try to figure out what they're saying, try and translate their Japanese. It's kind of hard to do that when you're listening, and you're just like, after a while, it's just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they're trying to say. It's just, I like the melody. I like the vocals and everything. It doesn't really matter what they're really saying. It's just, the music itself is pretty awesome, and the vocals are too. That's the same way with Shakira. There's some, like, Ojos Así. I love that song. I love, 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 love that song by Shakira. That's just one of the best songs ever that she ever does. Number 9, did your family influence your taste in music? Yeah, somewhat, most of my music tastes, yeah. But then too, my dad wasn't that much into progressive rock. But I think at one point he was, but he's not anymore since I've worn him out on so much Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Yes and Genesis. I worn him out so much on that one. But yeah, I think family taste had to do with, yeah, because my mom, she likes to listen to a lot of classic R&B. And that's how I got into a lot of Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, The Four Tops, Diana Ross, and the Supremes, all of them. But then too, I got into my dad's influence on me is mostly rock. And he likes some Yes. He introduced me to Yes, listening to their music. And it's just like, yeah, it's clicking with me right now. It's just, yeah. But then as I gotten older and older, it's just like, gotta listen to it, gotta listen to it all the time. As well as finding out that there's other bands that are in the same genre as Yes is, like Genesis. And that was around fourth or fifth grade when I found out that, yeah, Peter Gabriel. I didn't even know Peter Gabriel was in Genesis at the time. But it was just like, wow, okay. Oh, the Sledgehammer dude. Yeah, he was a, wait, he was in Genesis and he looked like that? With long hair? I don't remember. Yeah, it just, at that time, I was just really fascinated by it. Wow. That's the same guy who does Sledgehammer? Yeah, but anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. Anyway, yeah, so most of my dad influences, like, he loves Queen. And so pass it on to me, and my love of Queen is just infinite. Infinite. And it's the same for he's a huge fan of the Allman Brothers, and that's why my real name is named after one of their songs. So, it's just, yeah, I love the Allman Brothers because the soulfulness they put into some of their songs, and my most favorite song by them is Whipping Post. Whipping Post is one of my favorite songs by the Allman Brothers ever done. It's just So soulful, and you gotta love an uneven time signature every now and then. I mean, come on, I love it. I love the fact that it has an uneven time signature in there. It's just clicks with me. It just clicks instantly. All right. And number 10, tell us about an early musical memory. The first song you remember hearing or learning, or the first music you can remember really liking as a kid. I remember one time my dad had this concert on a videotape. It was the band's Last Waltz. And I remember wanting to watch that each chance we got. 'Cause I love that concert so much. And then when I gotten older, realized that Martin Scorsese directed the documentary, the Last Waltz, and that made me love it even more. Martin Scorsese's—he's the man. He's the man. If it weren't for him, there would not even be a Quentin Tarantino. That's just my opinion. But yeah. Anyway. I used to love watching The Last Waltz because there was so much good music in that one, especially my favorite song from that one from that concert was Stage Fright, because Rick Danko, I really do like Rick Danko, and God, I wish he was still alive though. That would have been amazing. If the band got together, if Levon Helm, Rick Danko, and Richard Manuel, if they were all still alive, and they would do like a reunion of the band, I'd be up to go. I mean, I would love to go see it with my own two eyes. I would just love to go see them in concert. If all of the band were still alive, yeah. I don't know, it's just so. Yeah, and then when Neil Young comes up there and does that song "Dry Your Eyes" with them, I remember that was the first misheard lyric I've ever came up with that song "Dry Your Eyes." Besides saying "Dry Your Eyes," I sung "Try Your Rice," like rice. Try your rice, and it would send my parents into laughing hysterics every time I would try to play the song on the piano, and I would sing, "Come try your rice." Yeah, and they were like, "Honey, that's not how it goes. It's dry your eyes. No, try your rice is better." Yeah, so yeah. And 11, if you're a performer, maybe tell us about your first performance. I don't really perform much in. Yeah, I don't really perform much that much in front of people. But, that first time I, did, it was in fifth grade, and I did a talent show, and I was singing that song by. I was a huge fan of Kiss at the time. I was a huge fan of Kiss at the time, and I sung "Hard Luck Woman" a cappella when I was in fifth grade. And it was just like, oh. And it was during that one time I was sick with a cold. And, yeah, my first performance was singing "Hard Luck Woman" a cappella for a talent show. And I was relieved I got that over with because I was just like, can I stop now? I'm afraid I might forget the lyrics. And okay, so I sung it all, and I was like, I don't care if I win or not. I just get me off of that stage. I mean, it wasn't so much for stage fright, it was just one to just like my throat was hurting real bad when I sung it. It was just like, and there was just so many things going on in my head at the time. But then I think my last performance in front of people was I sung with a group of people, and it was It was for the Veterans Day program back in 12th grade, and a song with them. It was God Bless the USA. Yeah. And yeah. It was just, it's a good thing I don't perform in front of people anymore, because if I do, I freeze and mess up horribly. Okay, and 12. If you played an instrument, what is the most annoying thing about your instrument? The best. Okay, the most annoying thing about playing the piano is whenever you hear somebody else play the piano and they just like play it so expertly. Expertly? Yeah, for instance, Keith Emerson. Every time I hear him play the piano, it's just like, how the hell does he do that? I don't think I could do that. It just, I mean, whenever you listen to other people play the piano, it just kind of makes you lose a little bit of confidence with yourself. I came into playing the piano like, oh, well, I don't care how well I play. I'm just doing it for the fun of it and just like that. But then when you hear like some pianists coming in and just like Rick Wakeman, Keith Emerson, Richard Wright, Elton John, Billy Joel, all of them, you just kind of think to yourself like, okay, let's see if I could play that. Oh wait, what was that chord again? What was that run? I can't do this run. Oh fuck this! I'm not do Cause every time you try to play a very complex piece, let alone a progressive rock song, but you know, it just makes it so. It's kind of a self-esteem blaster, you know. It's no booster in any way. It's just more of like a blows your self-esteem into pieces when you find that you can not play it by ear. And you're just thinking, well, I'm gonna have to read sheet music for that. And I hate reading sheet. I hate reading sheet music with a passion. That is why I usually play by ear, and that's why I don't. I try as hard as I can to stay away from complex piano pieces, like a lot of Keith Emerson stuff. You know, I'm gonna be mentioning him a lot. Because, damn it, I love him. I just. And I miss him too. Dang it. Yeah, and, but no, the best thing about it is, though, whenever you don't get your self-esteem shot down in flames, you could always be up for a challenge and you're just thinking, huh, yeah, I can do this. I can freaking do this. And then in the end, you just ace it. There are some times where I kind of ace some pieces, you know, but mostly it's a bunch of Queen songs. Yeah, I mean, a lot of their songs are pretty easy to play. Well, Seven Seas of Rye has got to be the hardest one. Either that or My Fairy King or March of the Black Queen. There are some hard Queen songs out there that make it really hard to play the piano. But, you know, I guess the best thing about it is whenever you just, when you're not pressured to play just one song, and you could play whatever song you want that comes up into your mind, that's the best thing. And especially if you're the only person to hear it. Because I don't know. I'm mostly a chord playing person. I'm just not one of those pianists that go like, I can't do that. My hands are too small. But if you look at Elton John's hands, his hands are little, but you don't But you don't hear him complaining about his hands being too little to do the do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Never once. Okay, I'm going off on a tangent again. Anyway, so, yeah, 13. What is your favorite performer on that? What is my favorite performer? There's too many. Elton John, of course. And Billy Joel. I got too many favorite pianists. Too many favorite piano players. Too many. Okay, I could list them awfully. Elton John, Billy Joel, Keith Emerson, Rick Wakeman, Richard Wright, Freddie Mercury, Tony Banks, all of them. Oh my gosh, yes. I'm getting too spazzy. Okay, number 14. Do you collect physical media, CDs and vinyl, or are you all digital? I have CDs. Yeah, I have CDs to play in the car, and there are some times where I burn CDs so I could play them in the car. If there's an album I really, really like and I don't have, I would instantly burn them on CD so I could play it in a car. And see, that's so good because whenever I play a song for my parents, or maybe a song they haven't heard it and I just think it's the best thing on earth, I burn it on CD and I just say, you have got to listen to this, and pop it in. Just, yeah. I kind of go back and forth between physical media and digital, because I've got an MP3 player, and I've got CDs as well. So I go both ways, because it's just you can never get enough of music. It doesn't matter if it's CDs or, I mean, I've been wanting to get a vinyl player, but I don't have any vinyl records. My dad does, but I don't. And that makes me really sad. But I will get a vinyl player, and I will get some vinyl records, for that matter, if I get enough money. If and when I get enough money. And number 15, what's your favorite album cover art? Anything by Roger Dean. Anything by Roger Dean. That goes for yes. Anything by Roger Dean, like, my favorite album cover has to be, it's gotta be a tie between Fragile or the album cover for, Tales from Topographic Oceans. Or Relayer. I don't know. All of them are... No. Hold on. I got one. Union. That's another good album cover that was done by Roger Dean. I don't know. I think Roger Dean has to be one of my favorite album cover artists ever. Number 16. Is there an artist or musician that you just can't... Is there an artist or musician that you just can't get into? Someone that you want to like, but they've just never clicked for you? It's kind of hard to say. For a while before I started, when I was a little, about a year or two ago, I used to not care about Ariana Grande, but it's just as time went on, I've gotten more accustomed to her voice, and it's just like, whoa, that girl can sing. But no, that was just, no. It's not, you just can't get into. Selena Gomez. I want to get into her music, but it's just, like, her voice lacks depth. And I know you don't have to go, you don't have to do that, but it's just like, where's the emotion? Where is the emotion behind it? It's just sort of lacking. There are some singers out there that I give huge props for. Huge props for, because they show a lot of emotion, a lot of angst, a lot of this, a lot of that. It doesn't matter what feeling they're feeling, it's just, at least show some emotion. I mean, you don't get that a lot nowadays. You just have people that just sing it, and they're done. No, you're just singing it plainly, but you cannot hear that emotion right behind it. It's just, yeah, you don't. You could tell that there's something lacking in some of today's music. You know, it kind of makes you feel that there's something, there's something that should be there, but you could tell that there's a little, or a huge hole, that there should be emotion right there. Yeah. Kind of like One Direction, Selena Gomez. Yeah. And number 17. Are you one of those people who says they were born in the wrong era for the sort of music they like? When should you have been born? Okay, so, yeah, there are some points in time where I feel like I've been born in the wrong era. I would have loved to have been born at least the 70s, or at least a little farther back. Where I could experience it firsthand, at least be born back in the 50s, and then go to like a Beatles concert in the 60s. Get your head together, Melissa. Yeah. I'm just. Yeah. But if I was born at least in the 40s or the 50s, and then if I was a teenager in the 60s, I would love to go see the Beatles. I would love to see the Beatles. So much. And see, 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, that was where good music existed. Yes. I mean, you got so many good acts. You got Beatles, you got The Who, you got Genesis, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, all of them. All of those. Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, all of them. All of them. You just got like a dollop. I mean, like a wallop. Yeah, a wallop of really good musicians during that era of the 70s. It's just, you can never go wrong with these people. You can't. Because, yeah, I would have loved to be alive through the 70s and just think, yeah, just listen to that and think, now that, they're gonna be big someday. They are going to be big someday. You just watch. Yeah, so, yeah. That would be me. And number 18. You've been given the power to bring one deceased musician back from the dead. A lot of them. So many great artists. So many great musicians that I would wish they would come back. Chris Squire. Yeah, I mean, I mean, come on, it's been like last June, but still, I would like to bring him back. Freddie Mercury. Now that's another good one. Elvis. Oh, Jeff Buckley. Oh, Jeff Buckley. One of the most angelic voices ever. One of the most angelic voices ever. It's just every time he just sings anything. He would sing "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round" and would make me cry. It would. I mean, make the silliest song sound so beautiful, and it would just drive me. It would just melt me into a puddle. Yeah, and of course, yeah, Jeff Buckley. I love Jeff Buckley. He is just so amazing. Okay, so number 19. You're feeling really sad. What do you listen to if you feel like wallowing in your misery? I don't usually play a lot of songs when I'm sad. Not really, anyway. I could play a little bit of Elton John. When I'm a little bit sad. Like, that last song from, that last song from the first disc of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I've seen that movie too. Well, that's a pretty sad song, and it's just, I don't know, there's something about that song I really like, and it's just fit for just being blanket burrito and listening to that song and just kind of let your mind wander a little bit while listening to that song. It's just like, yeah, just let me lay down for a little bit, just let me just turn on that song and just, I feel right at ease. I feel right at home. Yep. Number 20. What do you listen to if you want to make yourself feel better? A lot of progressive rock, obviously. Roundabout, but yes, that's number one. Or I've seen All Good People. That's another good song that makes me feel good. Anything like either some the usual stuff I listen to, progressive rock, soul, R&B. Listen to some Stevie Wonder. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she lovely? I love that song. Either that or Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. Yep. Now I should have mentioned him when. With at number 18. I should have mentioned him because I love his voice too. I love Michael Jackson's voice. Yeah, a lot of yeah. Oh, another one of, The Way You Make Me Feel. That's one of those songs that just get me dancing. Every time. Okay, number 21. What's on your sex playlist? Ooh. Or do you prefer to just provide your own soundtrack? Well, it varies. It varies. I like to listen to some songs that kind of help get me in the mood, like Prince. Prince. Now Prince is perfect for this kind of venue. It's just it's all his song, all like I said many times before, all his songs just drip sexuality. They do. They do, and it's just so, it just makes it so easy to get into the moment when you got Prince playing, I think. Some smooth R&B. Yeah. A little bit of Queen. One of their songs called Body Language. No. No. Now my mind is just shut off and it turned right back on when I was just about to say Body Language. No. 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 I meant to Get Down, Make Love by Queen. That's one of those rock songs I really like that get me in the mood. Get Down, Make Love. It's a good thing I stopped myself before I said body language because that is the worst Queen song ever. Freddie, you could do so much better. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, we're not gonna put that on the sex playlist. Nope. Nope, 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 nope. Nope. Okay, and number 22. What is the first song you'd play for your child? Start them off with Stevie Wonder, some soul. Let them decide which kind of songs they like. First song they would pl I would play for them is Isn't She Lovely? Or whatever song I have in mind. I would play them all my records. I like to play, just show them, okay, you hear this or this organ solo right there? That is the best one out there. I mean, if you want, we could enroll you into some piano lessons, maybe. I don't know. 23. What song would you want to hear just before you die? Me? Die? Pfft, never. No, I'm just kidding. I can't even think of one that comes up on the top of my head right now. 1999 by Prince. So if I gotta die, I'm gonna listen to my body tonight. Yeah, just before I die, let's party it up like it's 1999. Yeah. Tonight we're gonna party now, it's 1999. Oops, I'm dead. Get wrecked. So yeah, yeah, so I guess that's it. Oh my gosh, it's almost about 3 minutes short of being 50 minutes. Oh my God, did I ramble this long? Oh my God. See, this shows you how much I love music. So anyway, yeah. Thanks for having me around to just ramble a little bit. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy it, all of you enjoyed my off the tangent rambles. So yeah, I might as well just get going. Yeah, so yeah, bye GWA Backstage. See ya later.